You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Who's ready to update some tournament? We got to update some tournament here. We got to get people caught up. We've got to advance the weekend if it's going to be another weekend of craziness. Dollar Shave Club is the sponsor on our March Sadness tournament. FAU, South Florida's got two teams in the men's tournament. Two. FAU is one of them. FAU is represented in our Looks Like tournament by...
Andrew Luck looks like he switched from coffee to a mushroom-based tea, and it absolutely changed his life for the better.
Still around as a 9 seed, but in that bracket, teams beaten by FAU, Transitive Property, around FAU, anyone who lost. Number one, Purdue, was beat by my father's alma mater, Furley Dickinson. Purdue was a number one seed as?
Kirk Cousins looked like JCPenney.
Big upset there.
Big one. Number eight, Memphis, represented by?
Daniel Snyder looks like the doomed branch manager in a Jason Statham movie who can't remember the combo to the vote.
It's excellent.
That's really good.
It's really good. Stumpy. Stumpy in nature. Yes, he's fiddling with the keys, and he's very nervous. Fairleigh Dickinson, 16 seed, repped by?
Mike McDaniel looked like a college student on a full-ride scholarship for esports.
What a run.
In the West, Stugatz.
It was a game.
It was not a game. They also had the play-in game. And
oh,
again,
that's right.
They beat the number one seed.
1.5 games. I'm
Someone
sorry.
On our TikTok channel, by the way, follow us on TikTok, was like, they had to win their conference tournament to get in. They're a small school. False. They didn't even win their conference tournament.
Correct.
There was Brenda, Leticia, Linda, Felicia.
You're having a little trouble there getting Johnny Most for the lyrics. UCLA, Stugatz. This, thankfully, is still in the tournament.
Mike Budenholzer looks like the high school geometry teacher who just realized he pooped himself in front of the class and now will forever be known as Mr. Poopenholzer. 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 Dawn, LaShawn, Inez, and Alicia. Poopenholzer.
I think your Johnny Most is falling apart.
It is.
Yeah.
I can't reset with Burns Tales at all. Poopenholzer.
Rough on the voice. You okay?
Number seven, Northwestern, is gone from the tournament.
Jim Harbaugh looks like a casket salesman.
There really was a bias for the short ones. There was. The committee likes the short ones.
The delivery's good.
Witty's fault.
Number 10, Boise State is gone, and people really like this one because Daniel Jones really does look like this.
Daniel Jones looks like the blank template for a human being.
UNC Asheville is out. a 15 seed is gone from the tournament, that means that Larrañaga is still in the tournament, but this is not.
Jim Larrañaga looks like he just raised his hand at the Genius Bar and asked how to Twitter something from his iPod.
We've got a little more to update here, Stu Gatz.
All right.
Because the games are starting this weekend. Look at Amin. He's broken because his Johnny Most it was terrible, fell apart. It didn't have any stamina. And look at it.
There's a steal by Bird. Teresa, Monica, Sharon, Nikki. Pooping.
You really do need the runway of there's a steal by Bird.
Havajek saw the ball. Lisa, Veronica, Karen, and Vicky. Pooping.
It gets them going.
Pooping.
If you want to stay there and keep, I will work Johnny Most if he's got some material.
Cookie, well, I met her at an ice cream parlor.
He's back.
Number three, Gonzaga, is still in the tournament. That means this is still in the tournament.
LaMelo Ball looks like the kid in a Mountain Dew commercial that is amazed that his grandmother can skateboard after just one sip of Cold Red.
It's good. It's a good one. Thankful that it's still
LaMelo Ball looks like the kid in a Mountain Dew commercial that is amazed that his grandmother can skateboard after just one sip of Cold Red.
I saw the whole commercial in my brain. I saw LaMelo. I saw his granny kind of come up, take a sip of the Cold Red, label out towards the camera, and then like the stunt double come in and do like a half pipe 370, whatever the hell it's called. And he just like, whoa!
And you can see it on his cartoon face. TCU, a sixth seed, gone from the tournament.
Carson Wentz looked like the boyfriend or that one girl from your small town high school who is constantly posting, going to dinner with this cutie on her social media story.
Number 11, Arizona State is gone from the tournament. And Stu Gatz, I don't know physically if the audience knows how boxy Neil Everett of ESPN fame is, but here he is as Arizona State gone from the tournament.
Neil Everett looked like your buddy who moved to Denver and wears those shoes with the individual toes.
I mean, he might actually be that guy.
Boxy is really a funny way to describe somebody.
Boxy. Wow.
Do you guys ever wear those toe socks?
No.
Oh, they're the worst. I was wearing a pair yesterday.
If they're the worst, why do you wear them?
Honestly, it's a long story. And if I told the story, you would be required to play the white woman sounder like six times in a row because it was a Pilates-related situation.
Pilates?
I mean, we've got some time.
No.
I already tried to find it as soon as you went individual toe socks. It was already going to get played no matter what. So you mean to tell me the story gets whiter?
No.
I thought you did Pilates barefoot.
Right? No, Roy. Oh,
that's
my
yoga,
God.
Roy. Come on, what are you doing?
Tanya, Diane, Lori, and Carla.
They were in my class.
Excellent timing, everyone. Grand Canyon is gone from the tournament. 14 seed, gone.
Jay Cutler looked like the son who cuts the grass terribly on purpose so his dad never asked him to do it again. Marina, Selena, Katrina, Sabrina.
It's falling apart.
About now. Three Kims.
She needs a bird part.
He needs
there goes bird tails about.
You need it's lubricant.
It starts you up.
It's lubricant. You need it, I need you to understand this about
three Kims.
About the character. The character requires some lubricant. Because he keeps falling
so
apart.
So did the three Kims.
Stu Gatz, congratulations.
That sounded like Gordon Solie.
That was great.
We've gotten this far in the show, and I have not congratulated Stu Gatz on what is a majestic day for him, the reporting that his idol, Chris Mad Dog Russo, has turned an audition into a paycheck. ESPN may be cutting costs all over the place.
But now a doggy.
But they're going to extend Mad Dog because we need more opinions from an old white guy screaming and yelling about the 60s Celtics of Johnny Most.
That's right. I can't believe I told Mike Schur that I enjoyed his program with the colored fella on it. I just thought about that again right now for some reason.
My God!
Stugatz, congratulations.
I would love to hear Johnny Most describe what he thinks the good place is.
Johnny Most is dying right now.
He's having some trouble here. He's coughed up on the floor. There's water all over. We cannot get out of these studios fast enough. People are being shot in the streets. Amin is legitimately disgusted by the entirety of our environment.
Oh, man. By the way, it's enough. It's going to sound crazy. Enough with the shootings, please. Like,
I mean, no, let's put that up on social. Enough with the shootings, please. Yes. Dash Amin El-Hassan.
I just like
stop shooting people.
Oh, especially around here.
Well, but I don't think people. It's really close to Stugatz. It is. It is next door. That
I know
that a tourist group was being brought through here on one of those Art Deco tours, and there's a fire hose that is pouring the blood over the sidewalk. It's right in our, it's right here.
It's right there. It's literally right there. If you're wondering, in Miami Beach. No, I'm talking about right in front of the Clevelander to the left, basically.
After we've already, somebody who works in the lobby was already shot and killed but a couple of months ago.
That was the night I was working here, and I decided I was going to stay and do Cinephobe from here. And then I just got tired. I was like, no, I'm just going to go to my hotel room. And literally an hour later, I think, that's when that shooting happened. And so to see the news from last week, I was like, honestly, I really felt like, yo, when are we moving? Like, how many more times do I have to do this?
One of the issues here, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on this, but because Miami is growing so fast and stupid, can't afford to live here anymore. Like, the prices are through the roof, and all there is cranes everywhere. Everyone is flooded into Miami, and now this space around us is legitimately dangerous. There will be they can't put a state of emergency curfew in this week because this week the drugs come in with Ultra. This week, if people hit the floor, it'll be overdosing. It won't be assassinations in the street, which is what you had last weekend. It's not fights, Stugatz. It's a violence that. I don't even understand it when I tell you the idea that you know you're going to kill somebody and immediately be caught and lose your freedom. It's a flippancy and just to put bullets in someone while they're on the ground like they're in the movies.
Not moving. The guy was face down on the ground, not moving, and the other dude stood over him and let off 3, 4, 5. I'm like you said, Dan, there is no escape route here, one. But two is like, I think you got him. I'm pretty sure you got him. Like, I don't, the need to go over the top with zero, I don't even know, humanity is the only word I can think of. It was shocking, like, to see that happen somewhere that is a fairly nice to look at place, right? Somewhere that you would say, it always boggles my mind, like, when I go to a bar or something and people get in a fight, and I'm like, you left your house upset enough? To get into a, like, look at all this fun stuff we're doing here. Like, just have fun. See, take this to a higher level. Like, you left your house today thinking, I'm going to take somebody's life. Because that's not self-defense, right? That's not like, oh, I had to get him before he got me. You shot the dude, he's laying on the ground, and you decided, in for a penny, in for a dollar. And that is such an insane thought process. Not the least of which, what you brought up, Dan, is like, you're not going to get away. There's a zillion cops here everywhere. What did you think? You were going to run? It's so crazy. And I know, oh, man, this must sound like a broken record, but it is insane to me that people are so flippant with life, not because it threatens yours, not because of any sort of, not that there's ever a good reason, but a tangible reason. But just because, right? I had a bad day. I'm going to walk to school and shoot everybody. Ah, this guy said this thing to me. I'm going to shoot him 6 times in the back. Like, where are you mentally to be at a place where that's the solution in your mind?
But to your earlier point, Dan, congratulations to Doug.
And to steal my vert.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan.
Stugatz.
Have you never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I was made aware today of something that I did not know, Stugatz. Rick Ross, the famed Miami rapper who lives a giant life on social media. I thought that life was in Miami, and I was always wondering when it would be on the property that he has that is very ornate and is a farm for tax reasons. I thought that was a lot of land somewhere in Miami, and I was always wondering, where is that? Where is that place where Rick Ross lives? And I was informed today, I did not know this, that Rick Ross lives at Evander Holyfield's house in Georgia, a house that I thought, when Evander Holyfield built it as heavyweight champion, and I read the details about the house, I thought, this man will never be able to sell this house to anybody, but it's been bought by Rick Ross.
Yeah, Dan, you say he lives at Evander Holyfield's house. No, he lives at his house. He bought Evander.
It used to be Evander's, yes. But you had him living in Davie.
I did think it was around here somewhere. I did Plantation. Not know. I did not know where it was, but it, I thought it was here. And his evidently, he's got buffalo.
Huh.
And Rick Ross's buffalo are bothering the neighbors because Rick Ross doesn't totally have control of the buffalo. And now the neighbors, I did not know that Evander Holyfield had neighbors. This is such a giant property that he built in the middle of nowhere.
I've got some numbers on it. It's actually in Fayetteville County, Georgia. It's 235 acres. So the buffalo had to go kind of a long way to get to the neighbor's house. It's got a 45,000 square foot house on the actual property. The pool has 350,000 gallons of water. There's 109 rooms.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Among the 109 rooms, there's 12 bedrooms and 21 bathrooms. And Rick only paid 5.8 for it, which is you can get a condo, I think, down the street for 5.8.
Studio.
And the shower's in the kitchen.
Oh, you saw that?
Only in Dade.
That's in Hialeah. Sure did. That's in Hialeah.
To quote my dad on something like this, 45,000 square foot house, 230 some odd acres. Too much house. That's my dad's favorite move.
Good take.
It's a lot of house.
whenever you use like anything grandiose or whatever, he says like, no, it's too
much. But Tony, you said, go through some of these numbers again. You said 109 rooms.
Yeah. 12 bedrooms, 21 bathrooms, but it has a theater that can seat like 150 people. It had just rooms. Like, I don't know what's in the rooms. There's just a lot of rooms.
What another 80 rooms?
So what you're telling me is that there are 12 rooms and then another 97 rooms in the house that aren't rooms.
Just there's a bowling case, alley.
Yeah.
There's an outdoor pool, an indoor pool, a hot tub.
How many foyers?
Look at here.
How many studies?
11 foyers, 12
and
studies.
And he got it for less than $6 million. Because yeah. What did Evander Holyfield build it for? Because I never thought that house would sell. We talked the other day about Michael Jordan's house, the price always going down because of how big a house he built in a place that shouldn't have a big house. I did not think that. The reason I thought Evander Holyfield's house would never sell is because you're not going to sell 109 rooms to anyone there who wants to spend millions of dollars on it.
Also, Fayetteville County, Georgia, isn't exactly a booming metropolis. It's not Paris, right?
$17,000 a month on electricity expenses for the house.
Yeah, it's not Rome, Georgia.
Or Cairo, Georgia.
But how much did Evander build that for? Do we know?
I don't know what he built it for, but he sold it to the bank for $8 million.
And then Rick Ross bought it in foreclosure?
For $5.8 million from the bank.
$5.8 million.
The auction started at $2.5 million.
And his buffalo are just roaming all over the place. Amin, I wanted to talk to you about the latest news. Ja Morant is coming back. And he went to counseling for a while. And, you know, maybe people laugh at the idea of this, but he's talking about stress and stress management, mm-hmm. which I don't know that young people get coached for, how much their life is about to change when they come into the millions and the fame, and nothing prepares you for it, really. You've told the stories here of guys who get to the league and just haven't culturally acclimated to what the league is, that their previous life comes with them, yep. and the things they didn't learn or did learn come with them, and they might not be kids, but Ja Morant is very young to, and I don't want to infantilize him, but he is very young to be running an economy and an empire and playing basketball.
You remember when the story first broke?
Johnny Most has killed his voice.
Really has.
Start again with the
with
lubricant.
Bird.
With okay. the lubricant. Okay, right.
But wait, you want Johnny Most's thoughts on this? I don't know.
You could go to First Take for that. Or you could go, I'm sorry, to Skip Bayless, right? Skip Bayless is now, if you've noticed this one, he is just going after stereotype stuff on Ja Morant as the evolution of the 70-year-old guy on television who can play for clicks and just, you know, just do stereotype stuff to Ja Morant.
So when we first started talking about Ja and these incidents, right, because of the Washington Post article that came out, the thing that I said was, I don't know if he knows how famous he is, right? He still thinks, it's not like, oh, he's running with a bad crowd, whatever. It's literally, he still thinks he's just Ja that, you know, yeah, some people know who I am, but for the most part, I can live my life unfettered.
Ja show up at the mall with 9 friends because mom's been disrespected.
And think that no, this won't get anywhere. Again, it's this idea that like, we can do this and leave and it won't get anywhere. Right, he kind of mentioned it. He's like, "Oh, when I sit down with Jalen Rose, oh, well, I have to be better because you know I have to realize when Josh shows up, that means something." I'm like, "Yeah," but that was the disconnect. I wondered if he was going through, and it seems like it is. We had a great conversation on Basketball Illuminati this week. The episode dropped today with Chris Herring, who writes for Sports Illustrated, and he wrote specifically about the concept of mental health as being the new. Unassailable, infallible defense, right? And I said to Chris, I said, when I was growing up, this is going to sound like old people thing, but like when we're growing up, the big thing was when you got caught doing something, you say, the devil made me do it. Remember that? Like, oh, the devil made me do it. And whatever. Now the new version of that is mental health, right? Because if you throw it out there, no one's allowed to question it, right? I'm not questioning Ja's mental health state or not. I'm just saying that seems like a very, very convenient defense that you can't poke holes at. And then on top of it, you say, well, I went to counseling. And in a week, you're cured. Everything's great. We're good now. Like, it just feels...
He figured it all out.
Well, you know.
7 days.
Well, instead of... And we can be cynical about this because of course not, right? Stugatz, whatever was ailing Ja before this is not cured now because he did 7 days of introspection and stopped his life for a second and learned all the things a young person needs to learn about a life in 7 days. But let's just go to the start of this because Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan tried to break open this door. And this is what it looks like when they're like, okay, men, we're going to talk about our feelings. Men, we're going to go to therapy. Men, we're going to talk about how we're weak inside, strong on the outside, but we're going to talk about things. And we're really going to get into these soulful, emotional places on mental health and where's your anxiety and Kevin Love panic attacks on the court. Before we get to the analyzation of Ja Morant, I would just say to you that sports and all of us right now are at a very rudimentary, crude, crude place with learning about how to deal with any of this. Like just
getting better, though, but we've always been there.
But so primal still. Nope. Yes, getting better, Stugatz, but it's what I'm telling you, and this is the part that I want people to understand about like where we're headed in sports. He comes from an executive background. Get your ass on the court and play, period. Don't give me the excuse of whatever. Get on the court and play. I don't want to hear about anything else. And a crude manifestation of mental health awareness doesn't fit with that. You're right. Asking executives to now accept a whole bunch of things about guys missing long amounts of time. Andrew Wiggins has been gone a long amount of time because what about your mental health? Am I supposed to care about as the employer?
I think the bigger issue, Dan, isn't that, right? By the way, before DeRozan and Kevin Love was Ron Artest,
yes,
who won the championship and the first.
But it
person
felt real and genuine, to your point, because those guys were the first ones to do it. Well, now it feels like a crutch for a lot of guys.
Not just because they're the first guys to do it, but for them it had been something that was ongoing, right? Like, we didn't know Ron Artest was seeing a therapist until he said, I'm seeing a therapist. She's helped me with a lot of my anger issues and all that.
She travels with me.
Yeah. So same thing with DeRozan and Kevin Love. This wasn't something like, something bad happened. Oh, yeah, it's because of this. I've got to go see someone. And then, I'm cured. It's not like an upset stomach or you know, a sore knee. It's a very serious issue. And so when we're allowed to use it flippantly, it takes away from people who are truly struggling, ongoing struggling, working on it. And second of all, it puts us in a place where there's an immunity, right? Like, I don't get to question it, which I at some point, I think, Dan, that's the problem. You're talking about guys missing time. Andrew Wiggins is missing time. It seems to be a pretty serious thing.
A teammate was quoted anonymously saying he's dealing with real shit,
yes,
and that's all we know, and everyone's respecting the privacy of that.
But I mean, what's unfair is we don't know. I'm with you. I see where you're headed, but it's unfair to John Morant because we don't know that he's not dealing with it, you know?
Yes and no, but against Stugatz, it's convenient when it happens because something, like, you got in trouble, basically, because you got in trouble. And by the way, it's convenient that it got cleared up. Oh, I got in trouble and then I did it and we're good, right? Like, it just feels very going through the motions to check boxes and to say, see, I have atoned.
Well, this was part of Deshaun Watson's agreement with the NFL, right? That he had to, like, go to therapy, and there was a report that things were going really well after that. And so I think, like, on a case-by-case basis, you have to look at the entire situation, because maybe there is a mental health thing there. Maybe he's not coping well with being in the NBA, but I think you also have to look at what he did and the harm that he's caused and whether he's being, you know, held accountable to it. And those things cannot necessarily be a contradiction with one another, right? Like, you can have some sort of mental health issue and be like, all right, I'm getting treatment for that. But at the same time, like, you made bad decisions, and that
right.
doesn't necessarily excuse your bad decision making if you knew the decisions were bad.
So that was the thing, again, when we talked about this, when it first started coming about, we talked about Royce White. And I remember I told you guys, like, Royce White has a real condition. Also, he's an asshole. And so what we could not get into was the idea of allowing someone's asshole behavior to be immunized by his condition, which is real, but not the cause of the asshole behavior. Similarly with Ja, maybe he does have mental health issues that need addressing or whatever. But that's not what happened here. What happened here is you were a dick and you thought you were untouchable. And that's what, and yet.
Oh, but when I tell you that this is complicated, I will just tell you that there's someone I love very deeply, who has dealt with bipolar stuff that I cannot separate. Where does the sickness start and the asshole begin? Where does the I don't recognize. I'm talking to the same person, a person I love, and I don't recognize them because of the spectrum on mental health that we're talking about here. We're talking about, like, this is such a broad topic, and sports is just getting to it. Like, yes, you can dismiss it as, oh, those are excuses, and I can tell you, man, a 23-year-old kid, and again, don't want to infantilize him, but what tools do I have to give that person so they can deal with, hey, you're a superstar now. You get it all. You get fame and money, and you could choose to either go to the strip club and throw $50,000 on the floor or work on yourself, because
there's all sorts of stuff
here you can learn.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that part.
Right.
What's wrong is he assaulted someone, allegedly, and was filmed with a gun, which is a bad PR look for the NBA, although, you know, politicians do it, and it's like part of their campaign messages in this country as well. So there's a little bit of a double standard there.
That part's amazing to watch.
But I think that there's no indication, like what you're talking about with your friend, Dan, there's no indication any of that's going on. So we have to kind of just look at...
Oh, I'm just saying he's saying stress and counseling and mental health.
He is young, like you said. He's not a child, but like he's young, and young people make mistakes. And I think it's fair to have empathy for him and be like, yeah, he's going through a tough thing. I think it's also fair to be skeptical when people use this as a shield, because like what I talked about this with the Formula One thing a few weeks ago. There was an episode where one of the teams got caught cheating, and the team principal, Christian Horner, was like, everyone needs to stop accusing us of cheating, because in the era of mental health, it's really affecting, you know, the members of our team. And a lot of eye rolls were made because it is used sometimes as a shield.
I'm not
but that doesn't mean it's not a real thing, too.
Oh, my God.
Classic horny.
What happened?
He's married to Jerry Halliwell.
Oh, Ginger Spice.
How'd you know?
Roy, so excited. My brain.
Pop culture fun fact for you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
Well, Charlie sent, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
Are you going to say anything?
Stugatz.
How familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca? Like how your upbringing had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, we live at the center here of DraftKings and gambling, and you have seen throughout sports, you've seen gambling money flood the market. The NFL suspends Calvin Ridley for a benign parlay bet that he made because they're going to try and keep the walls up. Gambling will take all your money, but please don't bring some of those things over here that make it feel like anyone on our fields is compromised in any way. The NBA was able to disgrace Tim Donaghy, a known liar and convicted felon. They were able to successfully paint him as a rogue referee. But refereeing all over the place is questionable, and it's questionable beyond Stugatz just, oh, those guys are bad at it and those were bad calls. You can wonder fairly whether we are more likely than ever to have referees and integrities compromised in sports by referees or officials being contaminated, and it's not just incompetence. It's not Angel Hernandez being protected by a strong umpires union. And Fred VanVleet came out recently and made some decisions about, I'm going to take the cost of this, which will be substantive. It'll be tens of thousands of dollars. I'm not allowed to do this, but the officiating was so bad and so personal in this game that VanVleet, who's been more outspoken as he's gotten money, but has never been quite this, says this about the officiating.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, you know, Ben Taylor was terrible tonight. I thought that on most nights, you know, a couple of the, you know, out of the three, there's one or two that just the game up, you know, and it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a bullshit tech, changes the whole dynamic of the game, changes the whole flow of the game. And, you know, most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs are trying hard. They're pretty fair. They communicate well. And then you got the other ones who just want to be dicks and just kind of f*** the game up. Nobody's coming to see that shit. They come to see the players. And I think we're losing a little bit of the fabric of what the NBA is and was. And it's been disappointing this season. You can look up most of my texts this year have been with Ben Taylor officiating. So at a certain point as a player, you feel it's personal. And it's never a good place to be. That's not why we lost tonight. We got outplayed. But it definitely makes it tougher to overcome.
I think it was $535,000 for that. It seems light. It does. I mean, he let it fly. Okay, he did.
But the news that's come off of this, and Tom Haberstroh of Metal Arc Media, he has been more thorough than most, because this is a shady, shady sewers, Stugatz, of these games can be decided. All of the Heat's games are five-point games, and all of them can be corrupt. Like, it's not that hard to actually make as much contact as there is in that sport, as fast as the bodies are. And now there's news, and tell me what happened here, that Haberstroh is saying that Ben Taylor has actually now, weeks later, there's been, it's not punishment, but
demoted. Demoted. That's what Tom said. And, you know, the thing that happened, I remember before that incident, one of these incidents where there was a ref and someone got upset. Maybe it was that the tossing of the kid, what's the kid's name that went to Florida State that plays for Toronto right
now?
Scotty Barnes, thank you. Scotty Barnes got tossed against Denver because, in the words of Scott Foster, who did the tossing, he questioned the integrity of the game, right? And people were saying...
And all he did was scream on a call. He screamed, you guys cheated.
Cheating, yeah. Which, again...
You can't scream.
You can't... And he said, I was just talking to myself. And I'm like, well, no, you can't... You can't just yell whatever you want and say I was talking to myself.
Cheating the game.
But the reality is, Dan...
Who says that to themselves?
That would have been great if he just shouted at this guy, you guys are cheating! And then just, like, let it trail. And,
The game.
Spiritually.
The idea that people said, well, these refs don't get... They don't get fined. They don't get suspended. And I was like... Well, yeah, they do. You just don't know about it because the league doesn't announce it. And so this is an example of that, where Ben Taylor was when they probably went back and looked at the calls. And I know we did this on Basketball Illuminati. I think Van Vliet at the time had 9 technical fouls, and 3 of them were from Ben Taylor. And then there was like 1, 2, and then a couple of ones throughout. So, yeah, there was consequences and repercussions. It's just they don't announce it now because Tom is plugged in, and Tom does, as you said, the most thorough job, I would say, of anybody when it comes to NBA referees, and it goes a lot deeper than what kind of calls they give.
But the NBA did a very successful job, Stugatz, when they made it. Tim Donaghy was guilty, but they really made it feel for everybody like it was a rogue referee.
But you know what, Dan? Kind of was. And that's
well, we don't know that.
That's the crazy
thing. We think it was.
So Sean Patrick Griffin wrote this book called Gaming the Game. We had him on when the Donaghy documentary came out on Netflix. We had him on Basketball Illuminati. And we poked a million holes in this documentary that was, quite frankly, very lazy in the way it went about things. Because their whole thing was, oh, well, Tim is willing to sit down and he's willing to say, implicate, there are other referees that are all doing this. But the reality is, when you looked at Tim Donaghy's record as a better, he was excellent at games that he was calling. When he gave picks for games that he wasn't calling, those picks were terrible, to the point where the guys that he was involved with told him, don't even bother giving us those other picks anymore.
Stick to your games,
right? The example he gave in that documentary.
That's how Stugatz of Donaghy is that?
Yeah.
Oh, the ones I can control. I've got a skill. I can do this all over the league because when I fix the games, I know how to see more than others.
I'm fixing all of them.
I can fix all the games. I'm amazed. I'm an amazing visionary.
So this is my favorite part. In the documentary, he talks about a game between the Knicks and the Heat, and Courtney Kirkland hates Pat Riley, but he loves Isaiah Thomas. And so they made it to and lo and behold, the Knicks beat the Heat and they covered the spread, right? Well, Tim Donaghy was one of the refs in there. And Tom went back and watched the game and tabulated the calls. And he's right. There were a bunch of calls made in the Knicks' favor against the Heat's favor. But what he didn't mention was he was the one making those calls. Courtney Kirkland actually called more calls in the Heat's favor. But because Tim Donaghy was giving more calls to the Knicks' favor, they were able to manipulate the line order. So he's right. A ref did do it, but he blamed some other guy as opposed to himself. So, Dan, it's funny.
Stugatz is strong in Donaghy,
man. No, it's so great because I'm imagining myself like I'm 6-0 on games where I control the outcome, and now I feel so good. Yeah, I'm picking all of them.
I'm telling the mafia, hey, you guys, I got the insider secrets nobody's got. And the insider secret is buy a ref.
preferably me.
Yeah, I'm available, but
I'd offer myself for a late game.
Does anyone care?
I'll do the 7 o'clock and the 10 o'clock.
You're doing two a days? Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if anyone cares, though, because Calvin Ridley, the NFL fell on his head, man. This is
there was some reporting on Calvin Ridley. I know you called it a benign parlay, but there was some additional reporting on that there was more than just the one that got out or just what was reported.
Regardless, I've got to assume that people who are competitive, who are gambling on planes, they're addictive personalities, compulsive personalities, action personalities. I've got to assume that throughout sports, it would strain all reason to say there aren't people who are addicted to gambling in sports. Like, they'd be addicted in anywhere in real life. Major athletes who need competition need to be... hell, Phil Mickelson, that seems obvious that that's a gambling, yes. That that's a gambling problem. And I just think as all of this comes to sports and it's so much money... there's no way to actually keep the walls up around this stuff. It doesn't matter how vigilant you are.
Is that too much to ask to say, hey, you can gamble, just don't gamble on this, right? Like, because that's
your own sport, your own team.
You can't.
I don't think NBA referees are allowed to step foot in Vegas casinos. Yeah. I don't think they're allowed to go in. I don't think they have the same rights as the rest of us when it comes to gambling.
Some of those rules have changed, I believe, recently. Don't quote me on that, but
they can't pull the slots. I mean,
that would be crazy. Every sporting event in the next 5 years is in Las Vegas. That would be crazy if you have to go to Vegas and you just have to stay at like the Holiday Inn 30 minutes away from the strip.
Way off the strip.
Benign is a relative term, but it was reported initially that Calvin Ridley spent $1,300. He put out a tweet saying $1,500. It was actually closer after the documents were obtained and reviewed by the Sports Handle show. That it was closer to $4,000.
And that is a difference, but you tell me guys are gambling that on a team plane, I'm shrugging my shoulders, over a hand of cards on the way to Phoenix.
And it also should be noted that all six wagers involving the Falcons were graded as losses.
Antoine Walker also seems to have had a gambling problem, ran up a considerable debt in Las Vegas. Yep. There is no way to actually protect sports here, come close to protecting sports. All you could do is the optics of trying to appear maximum vigilant when you do catch somebody.
Just make sure when you bet.
It's speedy.
You do so responsibly.
Ah!
On the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Yeah. Bet responsibly. Shout out to Fat Joe.
Joey Crack.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.